Sunday satsang. So, you have a question? Yes, Yogi Sakura.
Yeah, I have maybe a common question, but again,
it's yours. Again, if you want it, if it's important to you, then ask it.
Yeah, it's important.
You're you.
Because in Prabhupada lecture, I heard that we was with Krishna's game in Krishna's Leela.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but and then different lecture, even Prabhupada disciple and others, they told another thing that we never. Fall down from
yes.
there. So can you explain it? Why it's different opinion and why and from where it started? Like some shlokas from Shastra that it's clarified.
The question is that about. Seems to be a lack of consistency in the presentation of Krishna consciousness and ISKCON is what you experienced or what you're saying. But you heard a lecture of Prabhupada saying we were in Krishna Leela, enjoying with Krishna, we became envious somehow or other, then we left the kingdom of God. And we're being punished here in the material world. But then Prabhupada's own disciples, some of them are sannyasis and gurus, and some of them even translate and publish many books, and they say something different. So why the bait? Why is there a difference? The founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the guru and disciples should have the same siddhanta. That's why the disciple surrenders to the guru. Guru Mukha Parma Vakya Chite Te Koriya Aikya Arana Koriya Mane Asha. My only Manoash, the only hope or cherished desire of my mind, is to have my chitta, my consciousness, my life to be one. Guru Mukha Parma Vakya, the Guru Vani. Words of Guru, Guru Upadesh. This is perfection, as we heard in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 15, verse 25, which we discussed the other day. Narada Muni is saying, what is the perfection? How to conquer lust and anger and greed and envy, and how to conquer the three modes of nature, and how to get free from being conditioned by the mode of goodness when you're young and healthy and happy and peaceful. And eating good vegetarian prasadam and everything's nice, then you enjoy a certain mode of goodness. So how to transcend attachment to the mode of goodness, how to become gunatit, and then many things are told in the 15th chapter, 7th canto of Bhagavatam. But then concluding it all in verse 25, he says, etat sarvam guru bhaktya, purusho yanjasa jayet. That all of this, all the things I just mentioned, can be conquered, the modes of nature and all of our miseries and all of our attachments and greed and contaminations can all be transcended and conquered by what? By Guru Bhakti, devotion to Guru. So the difference is that some Prabhupada's books themselves many times and his books and his lectures, his own speaking and the lectures and the books, there isn't consistency. So that creates confusion in the minds of the readers and the listeners of the katha, Hari Katha. And sometimes when there's all the time, you can find where Prabhupada is speaking in his books, especially in his books or purports, lectures are not the main, I can say, praman. But in Prabhupada's commentaries on the authorized books of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna book, Bhagavatam, etc., there in those purports, Prabhupada, he says different things. And he said the law books are his written books are the law books for the ISKCON and humanity at large. He had that viewpoint. But some disciples, they favor one position or one statement of Prabhupada, and other disciples, they favor another. Because sometimes the statements of Prabhupada's books or his purports, commentaries, they're exactly according to the teachings of the six Goswamis and the Shrutis and Smritis and Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So then those learned and well-read disciples, they accept all of those and they preach those. But other statements where Prabhupada is in disagreement or contradicts all of the Gaudiya Acharyas and all of the other Shastras that are Praman for Gaudiya Siddhanta or Gaudiya Sampradaya, then they don't follow that. They don't repeat that. So that's basically the issue, is that there's a lack of consistency. And then many godbrothers and disciples, I mean rather disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and well-wishers and those people that are grateful, like all of us, to Srila Prabhupada, they try to adjust and explain why Prabhupada changed the philosophy, why did he say this. You know, you can close them all the way if you want, because it's just hitting your eyes, it's the glare. Why it seems that Prabhupada changed the Siddhanta, or why? So then they give various reasons and explanations, because you know the guru, we always, the disciple thinks, my guru is perfect. They have a phrase, the disciple thinks or feels when he sees his guru, my guru may be wrong, may be right, he may be wrong, he's always right. So they say that, well, Prabhupada, for preaching, and he was to reach out to the Christians and the simple-minded people, because it's a fact that Prabhupada inaugurated his preaching movement, I mean, let's say, in a big way, in America. He started in Jhansi, and it was not so successful. So then in America, in a big way, and then he saw that Americans are all coming from basically two religious backgrounds, Jews and Catholics. Christians and Jews, and Baptists and Lutherans, and so we can say Christians and Jews, and they have basically the same ideas about heaven and God and all these things, very similar, that damnation and cast out of heaven and the archangel and all, whatever they have, these different things. So Prabhupada was just, they try to defend Prabhupada by saying that he was catering to the masses to attract them with conceptions, get them in the door, kind of thing. Then later they could figure out the truth. That's it's a little problematic sometimes for the students of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, because they, you know, this is when to accept and believe Prabhupada and when not to. And then you have your own guru, if you're an ISKCON and he's a disciple, or she, or whatever, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and they say one thing, and you maybe studied and read other books, even by Prabhupada disciples, sannyasis, that are shastras translated, and they're saying something else. So it becomes a little confusion and dilemma for the disciples. So each disciple has to get the final understanding of the Shastras and the Prabhupada's teachings from his mentor or his spiritual teacher. It's told everywhere. There's even verses which I can't recall but have been spoken to me, that one cannot understand the Shastra without the Guru. Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasneva sevya vadashyanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. Fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 34, he says that if you want to understand the truth, you have to go to the guru. He doesn't say shastra. Although here in chapter 4, he's talking about guru and spiritual matters, paramarthic considerations. Later, he talks about the shastra. So he could have spoken about the shastra. You just go to the shastras and you'll get everything there. He said, no. If you want to know the tattva, if you want to know the truth, you should go to the self-realized soul, to the guru, that's Tattvijnani. Then later in 16th chapter of Gita, verse 23, he says, Yashastra vidhi utsrija vartate kamakarata nasasana avapnoti nasukam na paramgatim. Now Krishna is talking about Shastra. If you disregard the Shastra, Yashastra vidhi, the rules and teachings of Shastra, Yashastra vidhi utsrija, you reject it, utsrija, vartate kamakarata, and you follow the path of your own choice or your own will, then you won't get perfection. Nasasidam, navapnuti. You won't get the perfection or the param, the supreme goal of spiritual Goda Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, nor will you become happy. So shastras are very important, but ultimately the most important factor is guru to explain the shastra. Even shastras with commentaries, we need a guru to explain the commentaries. So the final clarification of these type of things is with the disciple meeting his guru and discussing. I was served Srila Prabhupada for many years in ISKCON, and I would preach the tattva that Prabhupada was, where he was in agreement with the six Goswamis and all the Baladeva Vidyabhushan, Narottam and Vishwanath, etc. And then sometimes in classes and ISKCON temples, people say, oh, you know, Prabhupada said this. I said, yes, he said that. But he also said this. And in the Krishna book, which is so popular, Prabhupada's 10th canto explanations, he says, the jivas are all particles of the Brahma Jyoti, which means the effulgence or the glance of Vishnu or the effulgence of Vishnu. So now, that's also true. That's true. And that's the basic truth. And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Anadir Bahir Krishna Bahir Mukh. Anadi, there's no beginning. We've been Krishna Bahir Mukh. We've been outward. Bahir means bar. Bahir. Outward looking. Our face has been turned away from Krishna since eternal time. There's no beginning, but there's an end by Krishna's mercy. He put us here. We're here eternally. We've been manifested eternally here. And he's come here and said, okay, I'll also show you the way to get out. So religion is there, dharma is there, sanatana dharma. And devotional practices, sadhana, some type of sadhana, yoga, jnana, karma, bhakti, to promote oneself and to elevate oneself, either materially or ultimately spiritually, for final mukti, liberation, to nityadham. So that's what I can say about that. What's your take on it?
I just want to hear your vision. How you?
How
you deal with it?
Because we can't. If you look at it deeper, hold on, Radhisha. You can't discredit Srila Prabhupada, and you can't reject him. And you can't use harsh terms like he's wrong or he's preaching Jayagiri Rajdharan. He's preaching Appasiddhanta. You can say that and people say it from different quarters. And they feel justified and okay to say that. I can't say it and I won't say it. Because I don't think the people that are saying this about Srila Prabhupada really read everything he wrote, or even spoke. But they've seen some things and then they immediately respond. Because what I've seen is that Prabhupada, you can't say Prabhupada's wrong and he doesn't know the Siddhanta. He knows the Siddhanta and he's right. And sometimes he presents the exact correct right Siddhanta in some purports and some of his books. And in other books he presents the wrong. What apparently, you know, what all the other acharyas and what other shastras and all other contemporary acharyas and gurus, that's where they point out here inconsistency. This is wrong. How can you say that nityasiddha prema is inside the jiva? It's nityasiddha. It's in the nityasiddhas. It's siddha. You can't have, if you have prema in you, it'll manifest. It's like if you have fire in you, you'll be burning. You know, we have fire in our stomach, Jataragni, we have Akagni, we have Diagni, and Vakagni. There's different fires in the body. So we have fire in the body so we can digest our food. We can think, we have memory, we can see, we have eye, we can see with our eyes, because the fire, the Agni element. Pitta, which is, so the dead body has no fire. The fire leaves. First is air. Ether and air leave first. And then the fire. You become cold, you know, stone cold, dead. The body becomes cold. But first you go, ha, ra, ra. Then the air and ether go. Sound is air and then it's traveling in ether. Calm and air, they go out of the body. Air, some air is still there, it blows up. But this Atma is gone, death. And then gradually the earth element goes to the earth element, and the water element goes to the water element. And fire, ultimately the whole thing is burned up, but cremated. But the fire, the living active fire principle in the body is gone. So that that prema is if it's in you, it'll manifest. It'll you can't have prema. If you have prema, then there's no need for guru. Because if you have prema, it means you have bhakti. And if you have prema, you have bhava. You have bhakti and bhava. And you have bhakti lata. And you have the bija. You have everything. How can you have the fruit of the tree without the root? How did you get a mango fruit without a mango seed? You already have the fruit, but you have to go to the guru. You know, from Krishna guru, you have to get the seed. Ramanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagyavan Jeevan Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Pai means he receives. Straight, clear. Bengali, look in the CC. Prabhupada says P-A-Y-A means he receives. Receives, doesn't mean it's revealed. He receives from where? From Krishna or Guru? Directly. Krishna, you know, people manifest, they just start doing bhakti. Never met a guru. It's Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Maybe last life, samskara is fructifying. Very difficult. But this is the answer, this is the statement of Krishna's Kaviraj, our Mahajan. That bhakti, so it begins as a seed and ends as a fall, prem fall. Bhakti prem, prem fall. Our Prabhupada said this, nitya siddha Krishna prem is inside the jiva. That's his translation of Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadyukavanai Shravanadi Shurachitit Korya Udai of the CC verse. But all other acharyas, they don't translate it that way. They say Prema is Nitya Siddha, it's with the Nitya Siddha Parishads of Krishna. And itself, Prema is eternally perfect and eternally, it's Nitya. Prema is Nitya. And it's Siddha, it's perfect. Shravanadi Shudakabaya Udai. He says, this is not Shravanadi Shudakabaya Udai. He says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Arakabaya. What's it saying? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadyakabunai. He says, Sadyakabaya. This is not a goal that you can get. Sadya. Sadya means goal. Kabunai. You can't attain this goal. This has to descend. Krishna gives prem. Krishna instills the prem in the heart of the jiva, and then he relishes the taste of that love, which he instilled there. In Obhyal Kapoor's book, Sri Chaitanya's Philosophy, which Prabhupada has a letter on the back of that book, it's written by Prabhupada in 1977. It's not on anybody's folio. It's usually on the folios. Obhyal Kapoor's book, The Religion and Philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at it, and he said, can you write some review of it? He said, and Prabhupada wrote, yes, every member of ISKCON should study this book. It should be distributed widely in all our ISKCON temples. I never really saw it until I came to India. I bought a copy. I have. So, and if you read in there, it says exactly what I said. The prema is nitya siddha in the spiritual world. So, Prabhupada is, you know, what's going on here? it's incorrect. And then, and that same verse translated by his own sannyasi disciple, he's saying, what, he's not agreeing with the guru. And that book is read everywhere, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The verse is from there. I gave classes on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu some years ago, and from that book, and see, Iskan Sannyasi, good standing, good sannyasi, learned. And my friend also, by the way. And he's telling it as it is. Now what? Now you figure out your way to go. You get so, ultimately, I mean, when we're Western people, we're Russians, we're Europeans, we're Americans, whatever. We're Western, we're not Indian. Oriental and Occidental. Occidental means Western. We have a certain way of thinking. This linear thinking, it's called. Linear thinking. And the whole computer is linear. This thing goes that thing. So we think in a very literal, linear way. A plus B equals C. A plus B equals B minus. Wait a minute. How's it even? So A is one entity and B is another entity. So how does A and B combined make something less than B? So this is, we can't think. We can't, abstract thinking and achintya tattva, inconceivable tattvas, we can't grasp, we can't feel it, we can't weigh it, we can't measure it, we can't put it on our scales. So then we don't accept it. It's unscientific, unprovable. Well, some things you can't prove in the laboratory, like chit, consciousness. And you can't deny it exists. You can't prove it. And the scientists now, slowly, few of them, not very many, but some are saying, maybe there's more to the body than just chemicals. There's some kind of integrated field, electronic field, or whatever. Different theories. You pick up Scientific American, get all the latest ideas, or whatever, science TV or something like that. I think it's a matter of it's faith and what's really important and what's relevant, what's important, what's relevant. If that's important to you, all the fine details, and you're a concretist, you want concrete reality, and you come into the spiritual world, into the spiritual sadhana world of yoga and meditation and bhakti and jnana, there's so many intangibles. There's so many intangibles and so many inconceivables that the Occidental brain will just blow up. It just like reject it. This is all, say this is fairy tales, this is mythology, Prabhupada was saying. This is mythology, and this is make-believe, illusion, it's fiction, it's not scientific, it's not logical. It's not logical, it's not scientific. Therefore, I reject it. Because we're people, we go by ration, but we're rational people, logical people, scientific people, linear people. That's Occidental. We live in a box. Everything has to fit the box of our brain box. Has to fit the brain box. But if it's outside the box, and what to speak of, the whole spiritual world is outside the universe. But it's unidirectional. Some people point up, where's heaven? And people point up in the sky, Uparwala, Hindi Wallas, they say God is called the Uparwala, the person upstairs. And people say, heaven's up there. But the real fact is that the supra consciousness plane, the divine plane of transcendence, is everywhere. It's in all directions, every single direction. And it's in dimensions way beyond our wildest investigation. We have length and width and depth, and then we have the radiation level, then we have the sound level. There's so many levels of reality. And they use sound telescopes to go find the existence of other planets, or laser light beams and sound and light and fire, all the elements. They try to extend their senses to the maximum degree to perceive and understand the material universe and reach the end of it. We just found a star that's even further away than the sun planet. Wow! You're getting there. You're getting close. You're getting close to understand the infinite. If it's infinite, you can't understand it. It's infinite. Our brain is finite. Our time is finite. So now, beyond the infinite is a transcendence. Because finitude and infinity are measurements of the material realm. Beyond finitude or infinity is transcendence. Vaikuntha, Paravyom, transcendental sky, spiritual sky. So now coming down to the books about transcendence and the gurus teaching transcendence, what is the essence of the guru's teachings? Purify the chit, purify the consciousness, realize God. Well, how to do it? Gyan, yoga, Atma Kriya Yoga, this, that, everyone. Every day there's some new thing coming up. Used to be Kriya Yoga, which is all about the body. Now I saw someone is marketing something called Atma Kriya Yoga. But there's no such, Kriya means a purification, purificatory rite. And there's no Kriyas for the Atma. I thought, what an interesting scam this is. Atma Kriya Yoga. I saw something being, advertised like that. I mean, it's all glories. I'm not judging the individual or what they're saying, but, they may have making good contribution, helping many. That's great. I'm all for that. But just in this term, it's a contradiction of terms. Like, say, he's eternally alive. No, this life and this body, he'll live. You'll be eternal. I don't know. I can't think of something, but Atma Kriya, because Kriya Yoga is all different things that you do and physical things and different practices to purify your indriya, to purify your senses and your mind by this Kriya. These different Kriyas. There's string through the nose and then throwing up and all different kind of enema type things, purifying all the gross sense, the gross body, then the subtle body, and then you're ready for meditation, and you're ready to think of God. But the Atma is the purest element, more brilliant than 10,000 suns, the Bhagavatam says. Jyoti, Atma Jyoti, it's like brilliant, there's no ignorance there. The need for Kriya is because of Tamagun. You have to remove the tamagun to create the sattvagun as a platform for transcendence. Anyway, I just saw that the other day. I thought, this is really struck my brain. And everyone's, oh yeah, how cool, let's do that. No one thinks much these days, that's the problem. Okay, that was that.